During the Third World War, it seemed like nothing could really get worse with the world. Many of us have witnessed the electric chambers, experienced radiophonic mind manipulation, and of course, murder moths. However, after the final blasts, most of the bad things were even turned to dust. There were only a few hundred thousand people left to inhabit the planet Earth, and somehow, in the cosmic casino that is life, I ended up being one of them. In fact, my dog Cosmo and I were both hanging in there. We lived about 50 miles from the nearest human encampment, out in the desert of what was once Ohio. I liked it that way, though. Society inside those camps did not seem to operate in the same way as it did back when civilization was flourishing. It had reverted back to a time when the largest beings owned everything. And they may decide
to let you live.
Or they may cook up your ribcage and feed it to their friends and family that day. It wasn't a beautiful world to live in, by any means, but at least there was still adventure. Cosmo and I were always traveling and camping across the Great Dust Plains, searching for remnants of the world that once was. Then one day, we happened upon a cave in front of a backdrop of a crumbling, dilapidated mountainside, partially annihilated from an explosion. The cave seemed to be occupied because on the outer wall, there was a marking of a cross indicating someone inside would exchange conversation for a meal. Hungry and somewhat desperate, Cosmo and I decided to suck it up and see what this weirdo had to say. I entered the cave and heard a fire crackling deep inside. "Hello," I said. "Is anyone there?" I pulled out my makeshift flashlight built from a single LED light taped to the inside of a milk jug. "I'm willing to listen for a meal." Still no response came from the inside of the cave. I ventured further back and could see some reflections flickering off the wall. I entered the chamber where the fire was, and saw an emaciated old man with a cloak, frizzy white hair, and a beard. He gazed over toward me, and I noticed the centers of his eyes were a pale bluish white. I walked over to the fire and noticed a steel metal basket inside of a boiling hot cauldron. I grabbed a towel on the side of the bowl and wrapped it around the handle.
"Is that a fellow traveler?"
"Yes, I saw that you were offering a meal for a conversation of some sort." I lifted the basket and saw a boiled rat inside. If it had been 5 years before, I may have vomited, but somehow now I was overjoyed.
"Oh yes, the markings from another visitor, no doubt."
"Fine then. Mind if I eat while I listen?" I asked. The old man nodded his head in agreement. I opened up the cage with the towel and pulled out the huge boiled rat. I remember thinking it was funny how in a world so desolate, rats were still able to get the size that they were. I tore off a small piece of the meat for Cosmo, and I began to indulge in another piece for myself.
"Come this way."
The man stood up and grabbed a torch off the wall. He walked me into another chamber behind him. "Stay there, okay, boy?" I said as I left Cosmo behind the fire. "So how did you lose your vision?" I asked.
"I was part of an experiment
in the exploitation fields." He turned toward me, looked me straight in the eye with his blank white stare.
"I believe they were trying to give me some sort of advanced vision, a way that they could seek out the remaining enemies hidden in the caves underground. What they didn't realize was that they were not ready for what I would find."
The old man entered another cavern, and right before us, there was a bizarre floating asteroid-looking stone about the size of a small dog. Taken aback, I stopped in my tracks. "How does it float like that?" I asked.
"Let's just say the traditional laws of nature you've come to know do not necessarily always exist."
The man opened up his palm and guided me in towards the stone. As I approached it, I noticed that it had a subtle, peculiar shape to it. There were ridges and edges that, when viewed together, unquestionably made up a man curled in a fetal position.
"This tiny being you see before you comes from eons in the past, far before life on this planet ever existed. One who was launched into the eternal vacuum of space, and after floating for countless millennia, became what you see today."
Skeptical, I peered in closer. "But who is he?" The man kneeled before the floating stone.
"Well, my boy, Can you not already tell? This being which you see before you is the true and actual Son of God.
Unconvinced, I waved my arm up above and below the stone, trying to see if there was some sort of method that was being used to suspend it in air.
You see, all religious texts of the past have been in some way inspired by this cosmic stone. Some decided to exploit it one way and others another. However, one thing that I can assure you is the truth
is that this is the Savior they've all sought after. As a man who does not believe in much else outside of science, I truly could not make sense of what I was seeing. I can't remember ever feeling so uninformed. You've rigged up some very strong magnets to keep it afloat, haven't you? The old man shook his head.
Place your hand upon it if you do not believe me.
I reached out to touch the rock and felt it firmly positioned in place. Then I felt a tingling sensation run up my arm. Suddenly I was plunged into a distant memory from my past, where my mother and I first got Cosmo. Then I woke into the present. What the hell just happened? I said, barely able to muster words.
Perhaps your first truly magnificent moment.
I began to think that maybe there was something to this. Finally, there was a clear and present voice among the silence of this cruel universe.
I am curious what it desires of you.
The old man wavered and walked to the other side of the cavern. He picked up a framed photo off of a shrine set against the wall.
I certainly had my price to pay.
The old man held a photo of himself as a much younger man, with his two children and wife. What happened to them? A tear dripped down the old man's wrinkled face.
An exchange for the end of the war.
I walked over to the shelf and saw three empty vials laying atop it. Suddenly, in that moment, it all became clear to me. You sacrificed them? I questioned in a whispered tone.
Three people for hundreds of thousands. The correct decision was obvious, albeit difficult to make.
But why would it ask that of you?
It is not my job to ask why the heavens desire what they do. Just my job to accommodate it. I suppose all men have a price they must pay.
As I looked back upon the mysterious stone, I feared what it could possibly want of me. What had I left to even offer? Then I remembered the memory that it showed me when I touched it. What if it wants Cosmo? What if it wants my dog? After the thought had surfaced, I couldn't escape it. Why else would it have showed me that memory of me first getting him?
You look distressed, my boy. Has it become clear to you yet what you must do?
I didn't respond. I just stared at the smirking face of our so-called Messiah as it eerily gazed back at me from within the stone.
You can delay all you want, but you will never stop truly seeking the way unless you set foot upon the path.
I won't do it. This is crazy! I stormed out of the chamber. Cosmo still laid by the fire silently, sleeping comfortably. I picked him up in my arms and held him gently. He was all I had left in this world. There was no force in the universe cruel enough to ask me to destroy him. Somehow, I could not escape the thought, though, that it was what I had to do. Then, as if on their own, I felt my hands begin to creep up his neck, slowly wrapping around it and tightly beginning to squeeze. I saw him awaken, confused and horrified, but somehow I just couldn't let go. Tears ran down my face as I saw the life drain from my friend's fearful little eyes. After the deed was done, I fell to the ground, my soul shattered. Somehow, though, I strangely felt this closer connection to the object floating in the other chamber. I had made the ultimate sacrifice for it, and was fully in alignment with it now. The old man walked past the fire and held me in his arms.
Now you understand what it is we're here to do.
After a while, I looked back into the man's eyes and noticed they were no longer white. The centers were a deep, dark black now. What happened to your eyes?
Isn't it magnificent? It has given me back my vision.
It knows I will need it to complete our mission. Then, from his cloak, he took out a book written in ink on recycled old paper. It was held together by pieces of string and rubber bands. And the front of the book read, "The Way." I opened the book and began to read the story of how the old man had been changed by the war, and how he had found the mysterious meteor.
We must show them, my boy. We must help the rest of them.
The old man took my hand and we began to exit the cave. Our mission was clear, the past justified. I remember thinking, perhaps once man is shown his true origins, he'll finally learn the right way to be.